our minds to the truths that you have for us. God, help us to see how you are working in the midst of our circumstances, right where we are at, even when our circumstances feel chaotic and feel overwhelming and feel like the sea is falling in upon us. God, help us to see where you are moving and where you are working and where you are parting. Good morning. It's good to be here with you this morning. I'm excited for the word that I feel like God has for us today. And as I was thinking through and praying through this message today, and where we've been and where we're going, I landed on this question. And I want you to think about this question. You don't have to share it with anybody next to you. So I want you to be honest with yourself. And I want you to take some time for self-reflection right now. My question is this: what is God doing in your life right now? In the midst of wherever you are at, what is God up to? Because I can tell you this, God is up to something good. When we are united in Christ and he is doing this work in our life, he is up to something good in your life. But sometimes we miss what he's doing because we're not looking for it. So I want you to take some time today, and I want you to really think about, what is God doing in my life? Because I don't know what's gone on in your week. I have no idea what your week has looked like, where you have been. But I can tell you this. I have talked to a lot of people this week, and it just feels like there are circumstances, and there are, it just feels like there's just some things brewing out there, right? So I don't know if that's been you this week, but that's been a lot of people. So in the midst of wherever you have been, what's God up to? What's he doing in that? My next question is, how are you choosing in? Are you choosing in to the work that God is doing? Because here's what I can guarantee you. Last week, we've been in Romans since probably Easter. Last week, we were in Romans 6. And in Romans 6, we saw this picture in the beginning. Today, we're going to be finishing out the last half. But in the beginning of Romans 6, we saw this picture that when we put our hope and our faith in Christ, when we respond to that gospel message, that we are united with Christ and we are given new life. We are a new person in Christ. The old has gone, the new has come. Amen. There is a work that God wants to do in our lives in the midst of that. Can I use a big church word? Sanctification, right? So when we have put our hope and our faith in Christ, we then enter into this process of sanctification, where we then go through life with the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. We are united with Christ. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. And what we're going to see in our text today is that there are some stark contrasts. There are some stark contrasts between being a slave to sin and being a slave to God. Because the reality is that when we're given a new identity, when we're given a new purpose, a new mission, when we're made into that new creation, we serve a new master. And as we think about that, and we think about, what is he up to? What is God up to in my life? In the midst of my circumstances, in the midst of everything that's going on, and how am I choosing in? Because sanctification is this work between God and us, where sin increasingly has less of a hold on our life, and we are increasingly becoming more like Christ in our everyday lives. So there's this work that God is doing, and there's this work that we are participating in. And it takes both pieces of it as we move forward in our walk with Christ. And as I began to think about that, and I began to think about Romans 6 and how we're going to be looking at these stark contrasts between who we were as a slave to sin and who we are as a new creation in Christ, There are stark contrasts for who we serve and what that looks like in our life. But the reality is that we still wrestle with sin. No matter who you are, no matter how long you've been a Christian, no matter any of those things, the reality is that we still wrestle with sin. So when we've been given our new identity, how do we step in to that new identity more fully? How do we more fully pursue the things that God has for us? How do we more fully step into that calling that he has on our lives? Before we get to our text in Romans 6 today, we're actually going to start in Hebrews 12. Because I think that Hebrews 12 gives us this good, strong picture of how we do that. So we're going to go to we're going to go to Hebrews 12, and we're going to start here. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Romans 12, starting at verse 1. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin." So as we think about this question of what is God doing in my life, in the midst of where I'm at, in the midst of my situation, what is God up to? Sometimes it's easy in those situations to lose sight, to lose perspective, to get caught up in the circumstance or the schedule or just all those things that are going on. And sometimes we just need that gentle reminder to fix our eyes back on Jesus. Who's the master of my life? Am I serving sin and the things of the world? Or do I get up every morning and think, God, how can I serve you today? How can I be a vessel that you want to use for your kingdom's glory and for your kingdom's advancement so that people can come to know you? How can I do that in a practical way today, God? Hebrews 12 gives us a few clues, right? Let us strip off the weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily entangles. See, even when we've come to faith in Christ, this sin, we get caught up in sin in our life. And before we know it, it's become this slippery slope. And we find ourselves in a place and we're like, how did we get here? And it trips us up. But Hebrews 12 tells us to throw off the weight because it's already been dealt with. Last week in Romans 6, we looked at this picture that sin has no power over our lives. Because Christ defeated sin and death on the cross, sin no longer has power over our lives. It only has the power that we give it. So we strip off the weight, we run with endurance in for the long haul, right? It's a hard, steady work through our whole life that God has set before us. We fix our eyes on Jesus. We keep our perspective on him. We don't get caught up in all of the things that want to distract us and pull us away. We fix our eyes on Jesus and his kingdom because he initiates and perfects our faith. It's so easy to get distracted. How do we come back to that place? So as we think about that, we're going to go to Romans 6. And what we're going to see in Romans 6 is we're going to see some stark contrasts between who we were as a slave to sin and who we are in Christ. And what we're going to see is that the reality is that we serve someone. We are either a slave to sin or we're a slave to God. We think that we're free to do whatever we want and nothing is ruling over us, but the Bible tells us differently. So we're going to jump into Romans 6. And as we're reading, I want you to think about those contrasts in your mind while we're reading. So if you have your Bibles, open with me to Romans 6, starting with verse 15. Verse 15 says, "Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean that we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you have become the slave to whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin and have become slaves to righteous living. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I am using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. And now you are free, free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Thanks be to God for his word. We're going to go back and unpack that, and we're going to start back in verse 15. One of the first stark contrasts that I noticed in this verse was right here in verse 15, where it says, "God's grace has set us free." See, last week in Romans, we looked at this picture that in Romans 6, it says our old selves were crucified with Christ so that sin may lose its power in our lives. We're no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. The reality is that when we are in Christ, we have been set free from the power of sin. So God's grace has set us free. Now what I find is interesting is in the verses to follow, Paul talks about slavery. Doesn't that seem like a contrast to us? And when we think about slavery, we think automatically my mind goes to this American, the picture of slavery throughout American history, right? And you think about the cruelty and the injustices and the lack of dignity, and the things that happened that just weren't right. But Paul says that he's using this illustration of slavery to help us understand. And see, what I think that Paul is trying to help us understand is that those things that we think about when we read this, those are not right. Those are not good things that happen. But I think that what Paul's trying to get us to see is that we all serve someone. We all serve something. We all are a slave to something. We're either a slave to sin or we're a slave to righteous living. And so as we think about that and we think about how we've become a new creation, sin no longer has a hold of us, but yet we want to go back and we want to hold on to those chains and we want to grab those chains and we want to put ourselves back in bondage. But Christ has come to set us free. Sometimes we go back and we grab chains we didn't even realize were there. How do we walk more freely and pursue Christ and run that race with endurance more freely? We get rid of the sin that so easily trips us up, and we fix our eyes on Jesus. Verse 16 says, "Don't you realize that you have become a slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living." Now, what I think is interesting in this is that we have a choice right? We can either choose to obey sin or choose to obey God. One leads to death, one leads to righteous living. So what is God doing in your life? Go back and think about that question. In the midst of your circumstance from this very week, what is God doing in your life? Where is the hand and the movement of God in the midst of your present situation? Are you choosing in to what God is doing? Are you choosing in? Are you choosing to worship him in the midst of it? Are you choosing him, or are you choosing the things of the world? Now, as we think about this, I want to talk about two types of choices that I think we have. When we put our faith in Christ, there's things that change, right? We're a new creation. Instantly, we're made new. We're given a new heart. We're made new. We can pursue God more fully with our lives. But there are habits and there are things that God wants to renew in our life. But sometimes it takes a little while for that to happen, right? So there are intentional choices that we're making, and there are, I'm going to use the word unintentional choices that we're making, but it's not that we're not intentional, it's just that maybe we've formed habits and patterns over time. So let me give you an example. In the housing development where we live, when you go out of it, there's a stop sign. And the only ways that you can go are left or right. So you have to either go left or you have to go right. Now, for years, in the morning, with my morning routine, when I would get to that stop sign, I would turn and go left. So it got into a habit and a pattern of turning left. Well, some things changed in my life, some circumstances, and when I came to that stop sign, I now was in a point in my life where instead of turning left, I needed to go right. Do you know how many times I turned left at that stop sign? Like, no joke, I would find myself two blocks down, and I'm like, oh, I was supposed to go the other way. I'm totally headed in the wrong direction. But that's how those habits work in our life, right? Apply that to our new life and our new habits and how we handle sin. Things that we used to do, we maybe don't want to do, and now instead of going left, we need to go right. And sometimes we miss the mark and we have to repent and confess and turn around and go back the other way, right? Do a U-turn and get headed in the right direction. Other choices that we make are very intentional. So they're very intentional. Matt has been talking about worship. Last night we had the second Saturday service, and it was just an awesome time of prayer and worship. And one of the things that we talked about that he mentioned this morning too is that worship is a weapon. Because see, there's this piece that when my circumstance, when my life feels unsettled, when I'm in a season of disorientation, when I'm in a season of chaos, or I don't know what God's up to in the midst of my life, I really can't answer that question of what is God doing in your life? And I'm kind of like, I don't know. I'm just in a place. See, we can still make a choice in that moment. We can still make a choice with our worship. There's this powerful thing that happens with worship. Worship is something that when we turn our hearts and when we align our hearts with God, and when the words that come out of our mouth and the songs that we sing are aligned with God, and there is truth that is being spoken into the atmosphere, as Matt likes to say, we fill ourselves with truth. The lies are being defeated, and we can walk more freely in what God has for us. So in the midst of my circumstance, do I choose worship? Do I choose to take that moment to realign my heart with what God is doing? Or do I choose to be overwhelmed with fear and with the unknown and with doubt? Maybe with shame or with guilt? Or do I choose to bring my heart before God and say, God, I surrender to you. I am choosing to worship you in the midst of my circumstance. Because when we choose to worship God, it changes our hearts. It puts our hearts back in alignment with God. There's a powerful thing that happens. And what flows from that is that we can love those around us more like Christ wants us to. We're going to go to Galatians 5. And we're going to take a look at this in Galatians 5. So we're in Galatians 5. We're going to start with verse 13. Galatians 5, starting with verse 13, says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. Don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature." See, you've been called to live in freedom. You've been called to walk in the freedom that God has for you. But you have a choice. Don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. When in the midst of my circumstance, I align my heart with God, I give it to him and I say, "God, I praise you, I thank you, I seek you as my refuge and my stronghold." It changes our hearts so that we can serve one another the way God has called us to. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. How do we become more free from the sin that so easily trips us up? We fix our eyes on Jesus, and we let the Holy Spirit who indwells us guide our lives. Then you won't be doing what the sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the free to carry out the good intentions. But when you are So what are the results? When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. We have been given a new heart. Ezekiel 36 tells us that he's taken out our stony, stubborn heart, and it's been placed with a tender, responsive heart. What happens is that when we align our hearts with Christ and with what God is doing, when we say, when we don't seek God in the midst of it, these are the things that follow. See, it's the fruit of what we're following. Are we following our sinful nature, or are we following the Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How am I growing in those areas? In the Because if they're not, maybe I need to come back and align my heart. Maybe I need to think about, what am I worshiping? Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. See, what I notice in this verse is that there's this intentionality on our part, right? God is doing this work in our life, but we have to cooperate and participate with him. So it says, if we belong to Christ Jesus, we have nailed the passions and desires of our sinful nature to the cross. They have been crucified with Christ. They no longer have power over you. It was declared in Romans 6, verse 6. It no longer has power over your life. You are free to walk in all that God has for you. There is freedom. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Not in some parts, not in the parts that I want to give him, but in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. We see this stark contrast between who we were, who we are, who God is making us to be, and how we can walk more fully in that by fixing our eyes on Jesus and by letting the Holy Spirit guide our lives. We're going to go back to Romans 6, verse 17. Verse 17 gets at the heart posture. Thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Where's your heart in it? Is your heart aligned with what God is doing in the midst of your circumstances, even if we don't understand what's going on? Some translations say here that we are obedient from the heart. See, it's not about behavior modification. It's not about sin management. It's not about just taking our list of, oh, these are the things of the sinful nature. These are the things of God. I just don't do these things. Okay, that's not what it's about. It's about where's your heart? Because when your heart is aligned in worship, when your heart is aligned to Scripture, when your heart is aligned to God, when you are fixed and focused on Jesus, what flows is the fruit. What flows is that's the power of God working through you. What does God want to free you from today? Are you choosing into that? Verse 18, now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I'm using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. Now, you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living, so that you will become holy. See, through the power of the cross, you've already been declared righteous. You've already been declared holy. But we are learning to walk more freely in that. We are learning to put aside our sin nature, to not get so easily tripped up by our sin, and to more freely pursue Christ. There's a stark contrast in this. We think that the things of the world will lead to life. We think that the things of the world will fill that void that we have in our hearts. We think that the things of the world will bring us the pleasure or the accolades or whatever it is that we think we're desiring, we think that we can get it from another source. But the reality is that the only thing that can fill that void in our lives is Jesus. That's it. It's that work that God is doing in us. That's it. So as we think about that, I want you to think about, what do you give yourselves to? What do you give yourselves to? Where's your heart in that? What flows from that? Because the things that you give yourself to are the fruit from where your heart is aligned. And God wants us to be more and more aligned, our heart to be more and more aligned with him every single day. Even though he knows we go through seasons and we go through valleys, do we still seek him in the midst of it? Are we still pursuing Christ? Verse 20. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. When you were a slave to sin, you were free from conviction. Do you know why? Because the Holy Spirit didn't yet reside in you. When we have that moment of saving faith, when we have that genuine moment of faith and repentance, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in our hearts. Think about that. The Holy Spirit, who is fully God, comes and lives in our hearts. His power is in us. He wants and desires for us to seek him more fully. But we were actually slaves to sin. See, we were pursuing things that we thought would lead to happiness, and they didn't. They led us further and further and further and further into sin. And Paul says, and what was the result? He doesn't give us a list, but he tells us two things. The first result is that now you are ashamed of the things that you used to do. And those things were things that ended in eternal doom. I thought about this process, and I thought about what trips us up. When we think about that sin that so easily trips us up, a lot of times we think about actions, right? We think about, we go back to that list from Galatians, and we think about, these are things that we shouldn't do. These are things that trip us up. And we need to know those things in ourselves, right? A couple weeks ago, Pastor Steve talked about those canaries in our life, those things that, like, thoughts or words or whatever that bubbles up that's like, oh, okay, that's something that I know for me, I need to get more fully aligned with God. But we think about, what are those things that trip us up? And sometimes it is those actions, but sometimes I think that there's feelings that hold us back. So we can have feelings of shame or feelings of guilt from things that we have done that hinder us from pursuing Christ more fully. We might think things like, well, I could never do that. I could never dot, 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 dot. Because I'm this, 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 this. You fill in the blank. But see, that thinking is actually our sin nature. That thinking is not true. And so we need to realign our thinking with what God thinks and with what God says is the truth from his word. There's a difference between shame and guilt. Guilt says, I did something wrong. Shame says, I am wrong. Guilt says, I told a lie. Shame says, I am a liar. And with shame, we take on the identity of our sin nature. We take on the identity of the lie. But Christ has come to set us free. Christ has come to set us free from the things that we have done wrong, but also from our thinking that isn't right. So how do I take that and how do I reframe that into truth? I need to seek the light, right? I need to take those thoughts captive and bring them to Christ, bring them to the light. I need to share them with someone. I need to be brutally honest with where I'm at, what I'm feeling, what I'm experiencing. Because there's freedom, and God wants us to walk in that freedom that he has for us. Ephesians 5:8 says, "For once you were full of darkness, but now you have the light from the Lord. So live as people of light. Live in the truth. Live. Walk in that way. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true." John 8:12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life." We fix our eyes on Jesus. We let the Holy Spirit guide our lives. We come before him and we ask him, "God, what is it that you are doing in me? What is it that you are doing in the midst of the circumstance that I am in? Is there an action, a thing that I'm doing? Is there a feeling, a thought, an emotion that you want me to deal with?" And in those moments, we have choices, right? We have choices to make in those moments. When we are before God, we can either suppress what he is trying to tell us, and we can stuff it, we can deny that it's there. But the reality is that when we do that, it just bubbles up. And it comes out in the fruit of our lives. But when we experience that, when we come before God and we honestly ask, "God, what is it that you are doing in the midst of my life? What is it that you are wanting me to deal with?" And we honestly and openly before him do that deep heart work that he's calling us to do, we walk more fully in freedom. We get rid of the sin that so easily entangles, and we walk more fully in what God has for us, because we fix our eyes on Jesus, who initiates and perfects our faith. Verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." The free gift is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So when we put our faith in Jesus, we let the Holy Spirit guide our lives. He wants to free us from the sin and the bondage and the things that hold us back, the things that trip us up, the things that we get so easily entangled in. The gift is eternal life, which is awesome and amazing and enough. But he has more for us. He has more for us in this life as we progressively let go of the things that are holding us back. So as you think about that, I would just challenge you this week to take some time and just come before the Lord and just be intentional. "God, what is it that you are doing in my life right now?" Maybe things are going really well for you. Awesome. God's doing something in it. He's got you in that season. He's got you in that place for a reason. Maybe you're not. Maybe your circumstances are kind of rough right now. What's God doing in the midst of it? Maybe you don't know. Seek him. Worship him. Speak truth into the atmosphere about him. God is faithful. He is loving. He is good. And he wants us to come before him. He wants that relationship with us. So I just challenge you to spend some time this week. Find a quiet time, find a quiet space where you can intentionally be with God and ask him, "What is it that you're doing?" But then remember, you have a response. How are you choosing in to what he's doing? Are you going to suppress the work that he wants to do? Or are you going to embrace it? Because as we embrace that work that God is doing in our lives, we're free to run with endurance the race that he has already marked out for us. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are the author and perfecter of our faith. We thank you that even when we get tripped up, even when we stumble and fall, that you are there to catch us. That you so lovingly pick us up in those moments. That you sit with us in the tears. And you help us to move forward. So God, I just pray that you will help us to know individually, for each person here, what's our next faithful step? What that next faithful step is that you are calling us to take. God, you are good. You are loving. You are holy. You are our refuge. Help us to seek you as our strong tower. God, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I just want to say thanks to Matt for holding that to the end of the service today instead of the beginning. And my kids were running around yesterday just repeatedly throughout the service, but no. Through Marcy's message in the first service, God just spoke to me and he told me that I have some things that I need to work on and that I need to do to become more obedient in him. And it's a choice, right? From here, it's a choice. I can either completely ignore what he said to me in this service, or I can choose to follow where he's calling me. So what's your choice this week, right? What is God calling you to do, and what are you going to choose? So if you're not standing, go ahead and please stand for a blessing. As you go about your weeks, know that you are loved by God the Father. There is grace in Jesus Christ, and there is fellowship and power with the Holy Spirit. You are dismissed.